situated here. Focus of our lesson will be from 1 John 3, those first 10 verses that Melvin has read to us here just earlier. Being righteous in our society today, that takes a bad rap. You know, when you start talking about being righteous, a lot of times they'll put the word self in front of that. You know, and they'll say that someone is self-righteous. You know, this unfounded belief that their moral values and their character are better than everyone else. They're superior. But yet, you look at them, and that's not true at all. Some would say that about us in the Lord's church, as we strive to walk that uneven pathway that has been presented to us. We strive as believers to follow God's will. People would look at us. That's a self-righteous individual. He's not perfect. He's got flaws. There's no way that person is righteous. Or those within the Lord's church would look at righteous and being righteous and say, that's unattainable. I can't reach that. That's perfection, so I'm just not going to do it. But John tells us here in 1 John, there is ways to practice righteousness. He differentiates between the righteous and the sinner, being righteous and following sin or practicing sin. It is possible. It is something that we are called to do. Byron's class this morning was all over this. I should have just said ditto and just walked down from here. Our claim to Christ, who we say we are we in sync? Are we in harmony with the gospel of Jesus when we make that claim? So what is righteousness? Let's just define it here, and we'll develop some thoughts on where to go with this. Bible dictionary just simply says it's purity of heart and rectitude of life, being and doing right. This attribute of God, this rectitude of heart or of life, just simply means morally correct behavior or thinking. In 1 John, before John addresses righteousness, he talks about why he wrote the letter in the first place. In 1 John 1 and 4, he says, these things we write so that our joy may be complete, may be made complete. And how is our joy to be made complete? Well, he tells us in 1 John 2, 1, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. And then he goes on and he's going to tell them that in case you do sin, you have Jesus there, your advocate, the one who will wipe your sins clean from you, cleanse you. We probably don't talk about sin enough, but it is the one thing that will separate us from God. If you look over in 1 John 2, before we get to 1 John 3. So who do we know that is practicing righteousness? Well, John states that God is in 1 John 2 and in verse 29. Back up to 28. Now, little children, remain in him so that when he appears, he may have confidence and not draw back from him in shame at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone who practices righteousness also has been born of him. The idea here is that this kind of person is faithful and obedient to God. I'm going to draw on Rich's class from last Wednesday night from Matthew 7. We talked about there about knowing the fruits, what kind of fruits are there, good fruits and bad fruits. Matthew 7, and beginning in verse 15, Jesus says, beware of the false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Grapes are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor figs from thistles, are they? So every good tree bears good fruit, but the bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. So then, you will know them by their fruits. Sounds like a tongue twister, I know, in those verses there. And we look at that verse, and we look at observing someone and seeing what kind of fruits they have, good fruits or bad fruits. We observe someone doing that. This is a good passage for self-reflection. This is a good passage for us to look within ourselves. What are we bearing? What do I know about me? Am I bearing good fruit? Am I bearing bad fruit? Well, he goes on and he tells us how to differentiate between the two in the story down here in verse 24 about these two men who are building their houses. He says, therefore, in verse 24, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against the house, and yet it did not fall, for it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against that house, and it fell, and its collapse was great. And we look at these types of passages, and we'll say, well, this is a good lesson on resilience. We need to make sure we stand firm on the proper ground, our foundations are laid where it needs to be, and we're steadfast right where we need to be. But, you know, he tells us what the difference is between the two. They're both hearing God's word, but only one of them is actually acting on it. And the one who is not, they're not practicing this righteousness that we're talking about. Work has to be done. Back to 1 John 3. And we'll reread some of this. Let's just read this again. 1 John 3, 1 through 10. It says, see how great a love the Father has given us that we would be called children of God. And in fact, we are. For this reason, the world does not know us because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not appeared as yet what we will be. We know that when he appears, we will be like him, because we will see him just as he is. And everyone who has this hope set on him purifies himself just as he is pure. That's another action item that we see in verse 3. You wouldn't think of it maybe as an action item, but making sure that our minds and our hearts are pure and focused on the Lord. We talked earlier again in Byron's class, this idea of this, how does it feel when we're in sync with the Lord in our work? Well, it feels somewhat effortless, or Steve said it's first nature. In other words, it just comes to us so easily because we're so in tune with what the Lord wants us to do. And that is because we are practicing that type of righteousness. We keep our minds and our hearts pure and focused upon the Lord. He goes on in verse 4, he says, everyone who practices sin also practices lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. You know that he appeared in order to take away sins, and in him there is no sin. No one who remains in him sins continually. No one who sins continually has seen him or knows him. Little children, make sure no one deceives you. The one who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. The one who practices sin is of the devil, for the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The Son of God appeared for this purpose, to destroy the works of the devil. No one who has been born of God practices sin, because his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin continually, because he has been born of God. By this, the children of God and the children of the devil are obvious. Anyone who does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor the one who does not love his brother and sister. John tells us here in 7 through 10, the person born of God doesn't practice sinning. They practice righteousness. He talks about this seed here. He says that seed that's remaining in the righteous person here in verse 9, that seed is the word of God, Luke 8, verse 11. And when it is firmly planted in our hearts, it's going to bear good fruit. John's going to point out here in this passage that practicing sinning, or you can practice righteousness, it's one or the other, but you cannot practice both. I think the point and the distinction that he's making here is that we can have a lapse in judgment. We can have times when we've made mistakes and we've missed the mark. But when he talks about practicing sin, practicing righteousness, doing these things continually, that's an attitude that we should have changed from whenever we put on Christ in baptism. And again, we've discussed this in our class this morning, and it'd be great if we could just flip a switch. I get baptized into Christ, I become obedient to the Lord, and I never sin again. And that would be awesome, but we know that reality tells us that doesn't happen that way. But what John is telling us here is we need to have a fundamental change in our personality, our characteristics, our traits need to be different. From Ephesians 4:1, this walk that we have, we need to be worthy of this life, of this calling of which we've been called into. We need to change and make sure that we're striving and working toward that ultimate change, a complete change. Not stepping back and choosing to be disobedient, choosing to bear bad fruit, and choosing to live a sinful life, choosing those types of things. From Matthew 7, as we've talked about, when we observe a person practicing sin, that's pretty obvious, isn't it? Hopefully it should be just as obvious that the person who is practicing righteousness, that we can see that too. It's genuine. We're following God. We're not a fraud. So let's develop this idea. How do we practice righteousness? What are some of the characteristics that we see in that? If you want to turn over to Proverbs 8, Solomon talks about wisdom. Talks about wisdom here in Proverbs 8. He says, does not wisdom call, and understanding raise her voice? On top of the heights, beside the way, where the paths meet, she takes her stand. Beside the gates, at the opening to the city, at the entrance of the door, she cries out. Wisdom is calling. It's crying aloud. God's wisdom wants us to hear us. Further down in that passage, it says, I walk in the way of righteousness in the midst of the paths of justice to endow those who love me with wealth that I may fill their treasures. We'll stop in verse 20 there, should have. But she walks in the way of righteousness, this spiritual wisdom, godly wisdom that we should have. In Proverbs 21, and in verse 3, it says of righteousness, to do righteousness and justice is preferred by the Lord more than sacrifice. We see that from Hebrews 10, 8 and 9 as well, don't we? That sacrifice and burnt offerings God didn't desire. He's desired for us to do his will, just as he wanted his son Jesus to do his will. And that is more joyous to the Lord to do those types of things. So God's wisdom and righteousness are intertwined. Difficult to have one without the other. Another characteristic of righteousness is we seek it. Matthew 6:33, after Jesus tells his disciples not to worry about things like food and drink and sustenance and clothing and all of these types of things, he tells them to seek out God's righteousness. So now the actions are to seek, we're seeking, we're practicing what John has told us to do here in practicing righteousness. So it isn't simply given to us. There isn't a switch that we'll flip. We have to go and find it. Another characteristic of righteousness is our faith. We're going to go over to Romans 1. That's a 16, a passage we're very familiar with. Romans 1:16 and 17, Paul says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation, to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, that is, as it is written, but the righteous one will live by faith. This faith, this faith that we spoke about here, that comes from obedience to God's word, having that seed firmly implanted in us and allowing it to work in us. It needs to dwell within our hearts. Paul talks to us in 1 Timothy about things we should flee from and things that we should pursue. So as we continue to practice our righteousness and take on some of these actions that we're asked to do, Paul adds to the list. But first he starts out in 1 Timothy 6. Let's go verse 9. 1 Timothy 6, verse 9. But those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap, and many foolish and harmful desires which plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all sorts of evil, and some by longing for it have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. He says, but flee from those things. And that might fall into the category of practicing sin. He says, flee from those things, you man of God, and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, perseverance, and gentleness. He goes on and says, fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called, and for which you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. There's just certain things that we need to extract from our life. John talks to us about that over in 1 John, practicing sin. Things that have dwelt deep into our hearts, and while we, on the exterior, looks like we're practicing righteousness, we just can't seem to get rid of some of those sinful thoughts, temptations, actions that come out because of those temptations. Paul tells us to flee from, or tells Timothy to flee from those things. Pursue the things that are good, righteousness, godliness, faith, love, perseverance, and gentleness. What a great category or group of traits that we should have. And then that last part, take hold of eternal life. Seek it, pursue it, take hold of it. Have a commitment to it. That when we make that claim to Christ, it's genuine. People do see it in us. So let's go back to Proverbs 21, and we're going to wrap this up here. Proverbs 21. Solomon says, one who pursues righteousness and loyalty finds life, righteousness, and honor. Kind of interesting. If you pursue righteousness, you will find righteousness. It just presents itself. Pursue it in the right way, the right characteristics, the right traits, wisdom and justice, seeking God's righteousness. Make sure our faith is firmly implanted in the Lord's word, in God's word, not being ashamed of it. Cut out those things in our life that are going to keep us from doing just that. Find life. We do those types of things. Then when society sees us walking down the street, hopefully they'll look at us and say, there goes a righteous man. That it's authentic. Actually, let's end on John 14. We'll add in a couple more here. John 14. We know where life comes from to the Christian. John 14, 6, Jesus says, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Speaking to his apostles there. they go on and have this discussion here from 7 through 14. They want to see him. They want to see God. Down at the end, Jesus makes another statement. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. For the Lord's Church here in Randtul, Illinois, next year we'll talk about redemption, the plan of salvation. How do we get away from sin? And we can talk about the love of Jesus. We can talk about salvation that's obtained through Jesus. We can talk about Scripture, how it tells us about the love of Jesus. Those are all good things. But eventually, you and I need to make sure that when we walk, our walk is righteous, that we are practicing righteousness, that our lives every day is this continuous work and effort to practice righteousness. Because that switch can easily get switched back the other way. We've seen what Satan does. We see what he is called. He has practiced sin since the beginning, is what the Scripture says. From the beginning, he is firmly implanted in that. We spoke here about a week ago about how Satan has declared war upon our young men. Well, actually, he's declared war on all of us. And he would love nothing more than for us to continue practicing sin. But if we're a child of God, that attitude needs to change, and it needs to change today. We make sure that we are doing those things that are pleasing to God. We glorify God, and we walk worthy of the calling of which we have been called. Let's stand and sing.